that's our heart today, that as we start out on this new year, that we would start out with an intention that we're going to grow, that we're going to stretch ourselves out, that we're going to move in directions that would be positive, that we're going to move in places that would cause us to become better people, that would cause us to become better people of God, that we would grow and that people would be able to see the growth in us.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of My, How You Have Grown. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of My, How You Have Grown.
Luke chapter 2, and we want to begin reading in verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances. And when they had found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Know ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. And as we look at our message for today, I want to focus in on verse 52, where it says that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And this is a subject we want to speak to you on today. My, how you have grown. My, how you have grown. As we think about children, you know, and I'm just looking at my granddaughter and realizing that just a couple of years ago, she was a little baby. And now this year, she's going to be 4 years old. And it seemed like in the last year, she has just sprung up there. You know, she's not that little girl anymore that was way down here. But now she's springing up and she's getting a little height and getting a little bit taller. And so we can look at her and see that there's been some growth in her life. And, you know, we didn't really, and I wish we would have, you know, how some parents, they do that measuring stick thing on the wall, and they measure at interval times how the child is growing so that they can measure the progress and so that they can see the growth that's taking place. And sometimes when you see a child or maybe you see a teenager and you haven't seen them in a couple years, and then you see them, and what's the first, man, you've really grown. You've shot up there. And so I wonder if God would look down at his people and God would just see us where we were at the beginning of last year. If God would come to us today, could God say, My, how you have grown. And that's our heart today, that as we start out on this new year, that we would start out with an intention that we're going to grow, that we're going to stretch ourselves out, that we're going to move in directions that would be positive, that we're going to move in places that would cause us to become better people, that would cause us to become better people of God, that we would grow and that people would be able to see the growth in us. Once again, I've shared my testimony many a times, but it's interesting when I see people that I went to high school with. And you know, I'm on the internet, and sometimes, you know, people get my email off the internet, and they'll find out that I'm a minister. And I can't believe it. I can't believe that you're a minister. But you know what? I can look back at my life and I can see how I was, and I can see where God has brought me to today. And it's not by my strength and not by my power, but it's where God has brought me from. And there's just been so much growth in my life. But even as a preacher, sometimes you can get to a point where you think that you have arrived. You think that you have gotten to the place where, well, you know what? There's not any more growing I can do. And you know what? When you come to that place, when you think you can't grow anymore, then it's at that point that God needs to go on to take you home. If you are here on this earth and you think that you can't grow anymore, that there's no more self to conquer, that there's no more things that what God would have you to reach out and do, that there's nothing else that you can accomplish for the kingdom of God, that you can't become a better person, that if you think that you are at that point right now, then you might as well just ask God to go home and take you home today, because there's no reason for you to be here. But life is a growth process. And one of the things that I realize in my life, that there are some things that I struggle with on a daily basis. And you know what I've come to the conclusion of? That some days I walk a little more successful in that area than other days. And other days I'm under it a little bit more. But you know, one thing that I've come to the conclusion of is that there are some things that I'm going to struggle with all the way till I go to the grave, until I leave this life. You know, I would like to say, as a Christian, that there's a magic wand that we can just wave over everybody, and that at some point, and I think this is a fallacy sometimes in the Christian faith, that people think that one day I'm going to be perfect and I'm going to have the victory in every area, and I'm not going to have any areas of struggle, and there's not going to be any areas where I'm going to get defeated and discouraged in. And so they have that hope. And you know what? That's what we need to shoot for. Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and moving ahead, I press toward the prize of the calling of the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. So Paul said, I'm always moving toward the mark, and the mark is perfection. The mark is hitting that target dead center every time. That's the goal. But my brothers and sisters, let's be honest. We're going to struggle. And we need to realize that the only way that we're going to see significant victories in our lives is that if we put it in our hearts and we put it in our minds that we are going to grow, that we are going to move ahead, and that God, you know, God, the saying goes, loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. God loves you as you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay like you are. And God's desire is that you grow. And I wonder if somehow, and I know this can't happen, and I'm just saying this from a metaphorical standpoint, that if there was some way that God could just go off for a year and become disoccupied with involvement in your life and uninvolved with meeting your needs and hearing your prayer, but just go somewhere for a year and just not know what was going on with your life. And then God came back a year later and saw you. Would he say, my, how you have grown? And the scripture says here of Jesus, we're talking about the second person of the Trinity. We're talking about the Son of God in verse 52. And it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature in favor with God and with man. Would to God that each one of us at the start of this new year purpose in our heart that there's going to be some growth in our life, that we would identify some area that we can grow in and ask God through his supernatural power to help us to grow. If you look at your notes this morning, I want to draw your attention to that second paragraph in the context of the passage. We've kind of covered that first paragraph, but look at the second paragraph where it says, at the conclusion of this incident, where Jesus is teaching in the temple, his parents are a little worried because they thought he was with some kinfolk, and they went and he wasn't with them. And so they went back to Jerusalem and found him dialoguing with the elders. And the mother said, son, you know, you worried us. You know, why did you do this to us? And Jesus said, I don't believe in a disrespectful way, but Jesus says, you know, I must be about my father's business. At 12 years old, he said, I must be about my father's business. And then almost like, you know, see, this is one of those things that you could just kind of sweep by.
Because the main emphasis is Jesus being 12 and Jesus teaching in the temple. And you could almost sweep by this statement and just go on right into chapter 3. And Luke almost adds it like a footnote. And he says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. And you could just slip right by that. Oh, but don't go by that too fast. I like what's said here in the Life Application Commentary. Look at the note that I have included on your notes. At the conclusion of this incident, Luke adds this footnote. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. The Life Application Commentary records the following information about this verse. It says, the second chapter of Luke shows us that although Jesus was unique, he had a normal childhood and adolescence. In terms of development, he went through the same progression we all do. He grew physically in height and mentally in wisdom, and he related to other people, loved by all who knew him, and he was loved by God. A full human life is balanced. It was important to Jesus, and it should be important to all believers. To develop fully and harmoniously in each of these key areas, physically, mental, social, and spiritual. That's how Jesus grew. Jesus grew in these areas. Jesus moved ahead in these areas. And God would have us as his people to grow, and that we would have balanced growth. That we would grow from a physical standpoint, that we would grow from a mental standpoint, that we would grow from a social standpoint, and that we would grow from a spiritual standpoint. And God's intention sometimes is to move us and to stretch us beyond. See, the reason that a lot of people don't grow, because they don't want to challenge themselves. They just want to remain in the confines of their little world, their little circle, whatever that might be, and they don't want anybody to disrupt that, or they don't want to, you know, they just get comfortable. I don't know how many times I've heard this. Well, you know, I really didn't have much schooling. And like, that's supposed to hold you back. That shouldn't hold you back. You can still grow from whatever point that you're at. You can move ahead. You can grow. And that's God's desire, is that you would grow. And see, not only from a spiritual perspective, but God just wants you to be a better person. You know, he wants you to be a better Christian. Yeah, he wants you to be a better child of God. But God is interested in you also just being a better person. And if we're not growing, then we're not being a better person. I think when I first started out preaching, I preached at a church way back in the country. Oh, it was way back. Me and my wife, we drove way back out into the sticks at this church I preached at. And when I got there to preach, there was three people in the congregation and two people in the choir. And I preached. They didn't have a pastor, and I preached. And the deacon came up to me after the service was over, and he said something to me that was so simple, yet it was yet so profound, and I never forgot it. He came up to me, and he said, looked at the church, and he said, you see, we don't have too many people here. And then he said, you know, Reverend, if something is not growing, it's dying. I never forgot that. You know, if something is not growing, it's dying. And if you as a child of God, if you as a Christian are not growing, then guess what? There's only one other alternative. It don't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. There's only one other alternative, that if you are not growing as a child of God, then you are dying. The Christian life is like a slippery pole, that the only way that you can stay on it is if you're moving up. You can't hold and stay still on a slippery pole. The minute that you stop trying to make progress, guess what? You're going to start to slide down. That's the same thing it is with life. When you stop growing, you start dying. Look, here we see that some people that just had this thing out of balance. You see, Samson, he was physically strong, but he was spiritually weak. Solomon, he was mentally strong, but he was spiritually weak. He let the many women of the foreign countries turn his heart away from God. Look at David. David was spiritually strong, but he was terrible in social relationships. He had bad relationships with his sons. He had bad relationships with the people that served him. David was terrible with relationships. But you see, Jesus Christ, he was perfectly balanced. Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and with man. He grew in every area as a child, he matured and grew. And you know, I believe that Jesus would have continued. And we know, once again, I'm not sure how this all works out, because I know that Jesus was God, and we studied it, the incarnation during Christmas time, that in him he was in flesh, in deity, and that he put flesh over his glory. And I understand all that, but it says here that he grew also. So God in the flesh grew in the flesh. And I think that's an example to all of us today, that if Jesus grew, he just didn't come and, you know, show up on the scene. God made him go through the whole gamut of things that we as human beings go through. The emotional things, the growth things. He went through it all. And if Jesus went through it, how do you think that you're going to circumvent the process? How do you think that you're going to skip over it? Look what it says here. It says that he increased. This word increased is a very interesting word. The word increase, it comes from a Greek word, prokopton, which literally means, listen to this, to cut one's way forward. The idea is to keep advancing. The word is used for pioneers hewing down trees and brushwood, which obstructs the path of an advancing army. So you see the idea here? This word, increased, referred to a word that people would go through the thick brush and they would cut the trees and they would cut the brush. Why? So that they could keep pushing ahead. They would cut it down so that people behind them can follow through and get through. And God says that in your life, you've got to cut through some of the bushes in your life. You've got to cut through some of those things that hinder you from growing. You got to keep pressing ahead. This lets me know that growth is not an easy process. That growth is not just something that's going to happen and fall down on the sky and all of a sudden I'm going to leap ahead. But growth is going to be something where I get the sword out, where I get the sickle out, I get the axe out, and I cut through the brush, I cut through the weeds, I cut through the forest so that I can move ahead. That's what you got to do. You got to keep on. Growth is intentional. Growth takes effort. Growth is work. And if you're going to grow, you got to work at it. It's just not going to come. Oh, I know that we depend upon the power of God, where the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know that scripture is there. But you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you as you step out. If you don't step out, Christ is not going to strengthen you. You got to be on the move. You got to be on the attack. And so it says that Jesus increased, that he intentionally worked it. Why in the world was he in the temple dialoguing with the teachers? Because he was trying to grow. He was challenging them. He was questioning them. He was looking for answers. He was trying to grow. And if we're going to grow, man, you got to make up in your mind and in your heart right now that you're going to put some energy, that you're going to put some effort out there. See, you know, the problem with many people today, and I hate to say this, is that we live in this instant world, and so oftentimes we want to take the path of least resistance. That's the way that we want to go. Whichever way the resistance is the least, then that's the way that I want to travel. But you know what? Sometimes you got to find the way that's the right way. You got to find the way that's the best way. And sometimes the right way and the best way is not always the easiest way. But if you go the right way and the best way, you can be assured that the presence of God and the power of God will go with you. And you'll be able to make it through. Increase. I'm talking about increase this morning. I'm talking about getting your sickle out. I'm talking about chopping the weeds down. I'm talking about moving ahead. I'm talking about increase this morning. I don't know about you, but I want to increase. And I know I'm not going to increase by sitting back on my dusty rusty. I'm going to increase as I get up and as I move ahead. It says he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with man. Let's look at this for a second. First, he grew in wisdom. The word there is Sophia. And that word, actually, we can go back to the Old Testament to get some of the concepts of what Sophia means. He grew in wisdom. One word is Chokmah, which actually refers to the application of moral and ethical principles that result in skillful living. So, you know, it's one thing to know the right thing and to know what's moral and to know what's ethical. But then it's another thing to integrate it into your life. You know, and that's what Jesus was able to do. At 12 years old, he grew in Sophia. He grew in the fact that he was able to take the principles that were being taught, the moral and ethical principles that were being laid out there, he was able to take them and incorporate them into his life. What a powerful testimony. Another Hebrew word is bina, which is understanding. And once again, this is the application of the knowledge received. Whereas in the first instance, it is to incorporate it into your life. You know, you make it a part of you. That when you understand what it is that you need to do, and then you take that and you make it a part of your life. And then the second one says, now you begin to apply that knowledge that's received. You begin to act it out, and people can begin to see, man, you know, that's a wise person right there. That person makes some wise decisions. You know, that's why sometimes parents just you gotta let your kids have a few decisions on their own to make. See, if you make every decision for them, then you don't know whether they're a fool or they're wise. But the only reason they're doing it is because you tell them to do it. But you give them something small. Give them a dollar and say, now look, be wise in how you spend this dollar. If they go out and buy 50 Bazooka Joe bubble gums, then you know that, well, look, that wasn't too wise of a move there. And you know, you use that as a teaching moment. Now, there are some things, you know, that you know, you can't let them make the decision on. All right, I mean, you know, you have the animals running the farm, and you know that's not what God wants. So you know that you know. So I mean, you got to be wise as a parent as to what you let them do. But you got to let them make decisions so that you can see whether the decisions that they're making are wise or they're foolish. And you know, you can see. And would to God that he give us some young people today. Thank God for young people that make wise decisions. Man, I tell you what, that's a lost art in our world today. It just seems like it's easier to go the wrong way. It's easier to follow the crowd and make decisions that are dumb, that are stupid, and that lack understanding. You know, it's up to the parent, you know, to teach the principles and to teach the morals and to teach the ethics. You got to teach it, but then they got to do it. And so after you teach it, then you want to see, give them a little responsibility to see how they're acting out with what you teach them. And then I like this last one. Another word for wisdom is tasia, which means sound judgment that leads to practical success. So look at the progression here in wisdom. First of all, we have the studying and the understanding of what the principle is. Secondly, we have applying it to our lives and then using it. And then check this out. Then the third is being successful. That if you exercise, you know what? Nobody who exercises wisdom will never find themselves or ever find themselves in a place where they've made a wrong decision. Now, it might be wrong according to the way the world sees it, or it might be wrong according to the way the people who are not walking with God sees it. But anytime you apply wisdom to the decision that you make, you can be guaranteed of the fact that you will be successful. And see, once again, success is not always determined in the mind and the eyes of the world. We need to realize that success sometimes, you know, as long as we can stand before God and say that, God, I've done what you've told me to do. You know, we need to see that we're successful, and that when you make wise decisions, you know, that's why people end up with all kind of things they shouldn't have. Diseases, in trouble, going to jail, all this other. Why? Because they've made unwise choices. They've made unhealthy decisions. But if you will understand the skills that God has laid out in life, not necessarily just to be a Christian, but the book of Proverbs, you know, before the book of Proverbs is a book for Christians, and I believe that it is a book for Christians, the book of Proverbs is just a book on life, just how to live life. And so we need to realize that God, you know, even apart from being a Christian.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of My, How You Have Grown. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, My, How You Have Grown, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request My, How You Have Grown. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request My, How You Have Grown. or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.